Welcome to the Penny and Pops podcast. He's Spencer Penny Strode. I'm Adam Pops Papa Giorgio. We're doing no intro here. We're doing this live because we're recording this Sunday night, April 7th on 407 day. Lovely weather today for 407 day. We're almost done with tonight's NBA action in the East, basically, but the Sixers decided to go to overtime in San Antonio, but we're basically done with most of the action. So, and there's no NBA basketball going on Monday because of the NCAA men's national title, which I doubt would be as good as the women's game was earlier today. But everyone just take a deep breath because the Magic, with four games remaining in the regular season, are 46-32. And the East third seed, after beating the Chicago Bulls tonight, in thankfully fairly comfortable fashion, despite some injury worries out there. We're going to get to that in a bit, but because we got some catching up to do since the last pod, and it's been a roller coaster ride for the past 2 weeks. I mean, it's been a roller coaster ride for a while, but Penny, we're the third seed, man. How you feeling? How we feeling, man?
Pretty good and pretty crazy. We'll delve into what we've missed since the last recording, but it's been a little up and down, but thankfully the East has been a little up and down at the same time.
So since the last pod, the last game we didn't talk about was Warriors Magic, just part of that long 8-game homestand. You know, Golden State was coming in second night of a back-to-back, third game in four nights. The Magic had 3 full days off. We do terrible with 2+ full days off. So Gary Harris was out for that game. Markelle Fultz started, which Markelle Fultz from 2 weeks ago is way worse than Markelle Fultz is right now. So Markelle is gearing the fuck up right now, but not a couple weeks ago. But and the Warriors had recently started Klay Thompson again, instead of having him come off the bench, and they didn't have Jonathan Kuminga. But this was not the correct night to give away a Paolo Banchero bobblehead with all the Steph Curry fanboys and Golden State fanboys that were there. Penny, real quick question. Neither of us was at the game, so neither of us got a bobblehead doll.
Yeah.
What do we think of the quality of the Paolo Banchero bobblehead doll? And did you or did you not check eBay prices to potentially buy one? Because I actually did.
Did you pull the trigger? I did not check prices. I think I saw initially that somebody posted they had one up for $50 like night of. I thought the quality looked pretty good. And also from years past, wouldn't you always do the giveaway nights when you're playing like the
shitty teams,
Wizards or the Charlotte Hornets or somebody to draw more of a crowd? But I guess they don't have to do that anymore because we're on the upswing.
Well, first off, it's a very high quality bobblehead doll. Like so much so, I was tempted to potentially buy one, but I'm not doing it for $50. I'm gonna wait it for like to drop maybe 30, and even then, I still might not pull the trigger because I've got a lot of past Magic giveaway merch from 20 years ago, and 15 years ago, and 10 years ago. The Magic haven't been giving a lot of good stuff out in the past decade.
No,
overall, which is very surprising.
There's no Horace Grant rubber ducks lately.
There's no Serbian swatter or Hedo Turk or glue stick or any of that, which I don't have the Hedo glue stick, but I have a lot of the other stuff. Actually, I don't have the Darko Milicic Serbian swatter either, but I have a lot of other stuff. So, but it's a high quality bobblehead doll. Really weird game to give this out to. Like, you give this game, you have this giveaway on a shitty opponent night. It's very weird that they did that. And hopefully it's a lesson learned because Draymond Green got ejected 4 minutes into this game, which probably ended up helping Golden State, honestly. The Magic scored a season low, 11 points in that first quarter, so not great. But then they kind of rallied back in the second. They're only down 45-37 at halftime. Jamal Mosley didn't make any lineup adjustments. I was hoping that we'd see Anthony Black and Goga start the third, but I'm in the minority on that bus at times when it comes to that. And the Magic coaching staff are definitely playing the patient long game on that. And, overall this season it's helped, but I'm thinking more towards, I guess, the playoffs a little bit here and there. But we then got really frustrated with the refs. You can't worry about the refs. You know, the league is going to do everything to make sure Steph Curry makes the play in, and they succeeded because the Warriors in the play in and the Rockets now aren't in the play in. So, Rebounding and free throws were a big problem for the Magic. Like I said, with no Draymond Green, like Moses Moody and especially Trayce Jackson-Davis, like they hurt us big time on the glass. And just it wasn't a good Wendell game in that regard. Cole Anthony kept us in this game with his threes. I mean, he just had an awesome, awesome game, did Cole, finally. He needs to have more of those here. The Magic, they were only down 72-66 going into the fourth. And we've been seeing this now over the past couple of weeks, which we're getting a lot of Joe Ingles fourth quarter action, which I don't hate. It was interesting, though, in this game that we got a lot of Joe instead of Jalen Suggs. Maybe Suggs just wasn't feeling healthy enough to really contribute out there. I don't know. But and then Andrew Wiggins crushed us in the fourth. We were down one and then late, and then we had that 24-second violation that kind of took the momentum away. Steph hit that dagger three, even though Jalen Suggs had shut him down most of that game. And then Steph does that full court sleep celebration, and then he kicked the bench chairs, which wasn't great. But just kind of a foul, sour taste left in your mouth, and then seeing all just kind of the Steph Curry fanboys go nuts at the end. Not ideal. Any quick Warriors thoughts before we go to the next one?
Yeah, this was one of those games where you just felt like the Magic couldn't quite get over the hump, and obviously they never did. But I think you and I feel differently on the ramped up Joe Ingles minutes. And, the analytics and the plus minus, obviously he's a darling for us this year. And I love Ingles in the same way that you do. But the ramp up and second half minutes that he's been getting basically since the start of the Warriors game is a little concerning to me, just based on diminishing returns of the 36-year-old running out of gas but still being asked to do a lot of ball handling. Specifically in that game, you're like, all right, time for Jalen, and yeah, he never comes back in. But probably wouldn't have made a difference either way in that game, but it'll be interesting to see again as we continue to work towards the playoffs.
Hey man, it paid off in the fourth tonight against the Bulls. Like we might not have held on to that win if Joe isn't playing point forward and doing some good things out there. And I do actually think he's in better condition than he was 2 weeks ago, because he looked gassed in that Golden State game. Whereas tonight, he didn't play as long for as long as the stretch. Like, because for a couple of these games, I mean, Mosley's been playing Ingles for like 10 minutes of fourth quarters, you know, whereas ideally you want him to be like five, maybe seven tops in the fourth. But they're ramping his cardio up, man. Like it might work out. I hope it works out, because I love Joe. And I mean, Joe is one of our best three-point shooters, and he's an elite shit talker, and hopefully he gets to do more fun stuff on the court like he did tonight against the Bulls. But with that Warriors game, just a frustrating loss. And this is kind of also why I'm anti like 8-game straight home games, like an 8-game home stretch. Like 5-6 is kind of the sweet spot. Once you get to like 7 or 8, that's where like diminishing returns kick in. It's like, you've been at home way too long. I don't know if you feel anything like that, or it's just that we went up against some good West teams, because we'll talk about the Clippers.
I mean, a little bit of both, but also think of it from the fan perspective too. Like, you're showing up to the Kia Center, 8 times in 2 weeks. There's a diminishing pull for some of the more casual fans to show up repeatedly 8 times in a row. I think spaced out keeps the excitement level up in the building too.
All right, Clipper game. So the Clippers didn't have any injuries for this game. Markel was out due to knee maintenance. Gary Harris had returned. So we'd rolled out the Suggs, Gary, Franz, Paolo, Wendell lineup, which was 11-0 at that time going into this game. Obviously, that ended with this one. Magic got off to like a slow start again in this game, but they were only down 52-50 at halftime because we hit timely threes. Like we were able to just hit threes to keep us within 2-6 points around there, where if those aren't going down, like we might have been down 20 pretty easily. But again, we didn't get a Mosley adjustment in the third, and that cost us for sure. We had a bad start in the third. But then we had a big Magic run fueled by Suggs, Paolo, and Franz, and we were only down 61-60. And then you got some massive dunks from Franz and Paolo, and we were up 68-66. It was an 18-5 Magic run. Just an enormous Paolo Banchero third period in general, where he had just a hat trick of just immense grown ass man dunks, which at that point I'm thinking, okay, we're looking pretty good. And then nope, Kawhi Leonard took over and the Magic are down 85-77 entering the fourth quarter. Just rebounding was a problem again. Points in the paint, fast break points. They were all issues in this game for us. Just, again, not the greatest Wendell game in there. But we stormed back using just a big lineup where at one point Ingles was the shortest guy on the floor for some of that big lineup action as Mo and Joe were just leading us off the bench. And then Suggs hit a big three that put us up 90-89 midway through the fourth. So we're up one. And then, again, Ingles in there closing the game a lot late. You know, with that part of that us taking the lead ended up being like a 15-2 Magic run, which we were up 94-89, just an insane momentum swing. And again, you're thinking, okay, we're going to finish this off, but no, I mean, the Clippers just didn't go away. Like Paolo and Kawhi had an awesome duel in the fourth. Like Paolo had like this bully ball move on Kawhi that put us up 97-96 with 1:25 to go in the game. I mean, it's pretty cool that you're actually having a Paolo versus Kawhi duel and they're each guarding each other for the majority of the game and basically the entire fourth quarter. Like that was cool, right? I mean, we lose this game, but to see Paolo go toe to toe with Kawhi, like this is what you want to see from your second year All-Star.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we've seen it all year long, obviously not necessarily toe-to-toe with championship-level superstars, but the willingness to put the team on his shoulders and to, you know, want to be in those situations, I think, is the best thing that we've really seen over the course of the year for the long-term trajectory of Paolo and the Magic.
Jonathan Isaac checked in late in the game for defense. Kawhi is just so deadly when he hits his spots, man. Like you almost know immediately, like once he gets to a certain spot on the floor for those mid-range jumpers, like they're going in. And, you know, the Magic, they were down one with the ball with 34.4 seconds left. And then Paolo had what we'll call a learning lesson or learning experience as just he had some, you know, just it wasn't the greatest like possession right there. And I'm sure he would like that back. Mosley, he should have challenged that one Ingles strip on Paul George near the sideline. You know, timeout be damned. Like we would have won the challenge and had the ball with a chance to take the lead again. Instead, Paul George hit just a really, really tough fadeaway over Jonathan Isaac, where PG just could not shake Isaac. And funny enough, you know, because we get league pass, we were watching the Clippers complete a crazy 26-point comeback on the Cavs, and he basically had to do the same thing with Evan Mobley, where it looked like Mobley was gonna smother him, and no, George at the very last second pulled off like one last good move to get a decent enough look up, and you know, I mean, he broke Mobley's ankles in today's case, but with Isaac, he was so close to the rim, he's like 5 feet from the rim when he turned around and just floated it just barely above Isaac's fingertips that it went in, and the Magic were down three with 5.1 seconds left. Kawhi, I thought, literally fouled Franz on Franz's corner three attempt out of the timeout, no whistle. And then Franz then had a tough fadeaway look again at the buzzer. That didn't go in. It was another tough loss to another just tough, good Western Conference team, and it was our third straight home loss. I'm not, first off, what do you think about the corner three from Kawhi? Like, did you think that was a foul or was that a clean block?
I thought they were trying to foul, and I thought it would have been a foul before he was in the shooting motion, so I don't know if that would have made a difference either way. My big takeaway from this game, and we've talked about this I think on previous episodes, but also off air a bunch too, I thought there was some easy and needless switching at the end. Now you talked about the PG shot over JI, which you can't defend that better than he did, but the Kawhi shot ended up being over Jalen Suggs, who when you have 6'10 Paolo, 6'10 Franz, and then, you know, long, lanky JI, it felt like we did not need to ease into that switch, that they could have kept a longer body on him. Now, would it have made a difference? Who knows? But, you know, as we look forward into future matchups where you go, like, really don't feel despite us both agreeing, I think that Jalen Suggs is an all defensive team, you know, player this year, and certainly, you know, one of the best defenders in the league. That height differential on the big wings, like, I'm much more comfortable having him defend a Donovan Mitchell than a Jason Tatum or, you know, a Paul George or a Kawhi Leonard, where it actually makes a difference to contest a shot.
Yeah, I mean, he's given up half a foot. Like, I don't care how good of a defender. Like, same thing with, like, Marcus Smart, you know, and, like, Drew Holiday. Like, you don't want a half a foot of disadvantage there. Like, they can do it at times, but not like that. So,
but yeah, those are the little things that we talk about where, you know, Mosley's prone to play through situations or, you know, maybe not deviate from the plan that has been in place over the course of the game and crunch right. time, where you go, instead of just switching one through four, let's keep our matchups here and hedge and, you know, get through or whatever. Like, those are playoff possessions that, as you enter the playoffs, you know, a crushing defeat in game three of a playoff series obviously is markedly different than, you know, game 73 of the season.
Yeah. Look, I'm not worried about Franz's 3-point shot long term, but he mentioned early in the season how we kind of tweaked that flat trajectory, and I just see that shot falling short a lot. And look, I didn't care about his long drive three if it went in. Like, I don't care about the trajectory as long as it went in. And I mean, it had been going in for the most part for the first two seasons, but maybe we'll see his percentage rise in the postseason. Like, I mean, it's gone up in general over the past few games, so he might be working his way out of this slump. But you know, maybe he'll just need the off season to correct it. But I don't know. Are you concerned about Franz's three in the long term? I'm not, but just that tweaking of the shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Not, I don't think there's a long term concern, but the biggest concern was you could see maybe, you know, a week and a half ago, he had lost confidence in the shot, and that would be killer. He seems to be at least mentally being, you know, more open to shooting when he catches the ball on a swing. The percentages are inching back up and not where we'd like them to be. But I think the biggest thing is him having the fortitude to keep shooting and the confidence in it. And that seems to be returning, which I think is the biggest thing for finishing out this campaign.
All right, Grizzlies, second night of a back-to-back after that Clippers game. We had to get him back for that disappointing loss in Memphis early on in the year. And, you know, we rested Isaac and Gary Harris. We just stomped Memphis. Like, I have nothing else to say about this game. We stomped them. We got, that was our 43rd win of the season. It's the most wins we've had since 2011. Any thoughts on this, or just move on to the Blazers game?
No, got payback for the monumental blown bet that I had earlier in the year too.
yeah, that's true. Damn. All right, Blazers Magic last Monday. So that was April Fool's Day. We always historically play bad on this day, and it happened again. But thankfully, we barely won. But it happened again where we just do not play well on April Fool's Day. Caleb Houston's out. He's been out for the last few games now. Look, the Blazers have been tanking, but they were just coming off a 60-point loss in Miami, where Scoot Henderson's minus 58 is the worst plus minus in NBA history. So, and yet the Magic were only up on them by 7 at halftime. There was just a lack of urgency the whole game from us, and it kept Portland in it. And just late in the game, the Blazers, they had a 10-2 run, which saw Portland with the ball down one with 12.2 seconds left. There's that kind of defensive scramble down there where Suggs is defending his ass off in the paint. I thought there'd be a 3-second violation. There wasn't. You know, thank God DeAndre Ayton missed that elbow jumper. I would have bet money on that jumper going in, but he missed it. Yeah. And luckily we won the game. You know, after the game, Franz and Jamal Mosley, I thought they had very appropriate kind of stern post-game interviews where they were just not happy about having to eat this game out. And you kind of thought this was the wake-up call, but we'll get to it in a bit where that didn't quite come to fruition. But, you know, they said the right things. And I'm not concerned long-term at the moment for this. Like, this is all bonus and gravy at this point, where we're essentially a playoff team right now. And it's just a late grind of a season. And but I don't know, thoughts on the Blazer game? Like, I thoughts on the Blazer game?
Yeah, the interesting takeaway for me was coming down the stretch that that was the first game that I can remember in a while where it was really dominated. The ball was in Franz's hands more than Paolo. They, you know, basically a little 2.5-man game between him and Wendell and Jalen Suggs, where a ton of great shots were gotten to coming down the stretch. But I would argue, and I'd love to get your thoughts, and we'll get your thoughts in a minute, but to me, this was almost worse than the Charlotte game. It felt like an abysmal performance, and to get out with the win was incredibly lucky and still embarrassing.
I mean, honestly, it was about equal. Like, I think our defense was even worse in the Charlotte game than it was with Portland. The only difference was Charlotte hit threes, and then once we tried to turn it on, it was too late. Charlotte had gotten their hopes up and a decent enough amount of momentum where they kept hitting timely shots and threes, and we just couldn't catch them. I thought the whole Charlotte game, which we'll get to in a bit, but that was worse than this Portland game. But you disagree.
It just felt, I mean, obviously a team coming off a 60-point drubbing is going to
that's true.
Have a little more emotional, you know, mental fortitude coming out of that. But the team that they rolled out there, and what, again, you know, the stakes that we're playing for, you just would have liked to see them show up a little bit more. But a win is a win by the slimmest of margins, I guess.
Well, I know Banton really likes to play us, whether it's as the Raptor or as a Blazer now. Like, that guy, he's got magic killer potential in his future if he keeps this up. But all right, Magic in New Orleans on Wednesday. So the Pelicans were seeking some revenge for the last meeting that we had with them, where that got chippy and physical in Orlando. So they didn't have Brandon Ingram. They didn't have Jose Alvarado, which is funny because Gary Harris had a Grand Theft Alvarado moment or two in this game where he's picking pockets, but or trying to pick pockets. So, but the Pelicans, they still started Valanciunas, Zion, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, and CJ McCollum, which is a very strong five. But they didn't have a deep enough bench, and our bench really came up big again here, where we didn't have the greatest start against the Hornets, but Mo and the bench just crushed it, and we were up 38-36 in this game. You know, Paolo had this big driving poster on Herb Jones, which put us up 56-50, and then we were up 58-55 at halftime. Paolo was leading us with 18 points at that time, and you know, the Magic in the third period, like the starters, they had a much better third period than we had been doing overall over the past few weeks. Like, that was a notably pretty strong third period from us. And we were winning the physical battles. Like, Paolo was frustrating the shit out of Zion Williamson. Again, he got Zion in foul trouble. Again, this is just one-on-one. Like, Paolo, who does not get a lot of credit for being a solid defender, again, doing a really great job of just being big and physical against Zion, who, even though Zion's stronger than Paolo, Zion is shorter than Paolo, and Paolo just has strong enough legs and uses that height leverage to his advantage. And just, you saw Zion just struggling to score against him. And that's just impressive, again, from your 21-year-old stud, that he's that good of a two-way player already, where Zion Williamson, who's supposed to be this phenom, could not do much against Paolo again. The Magic, they were up 91-76 entering the fourth. Banchero was already at 30 points in this game. This was one of Franz's good 3-point nights, where, again, now he's starting to find his 3-point shot again, and maybe shoot himself out of this 3-point slump. I hope so, because that would be awesome going to the playoffs. You know, the Magic, we were cruising in the fourth, and then it got extra chippy as, like, Suggs was getting whacked a lot during this game. Then there was, you know, CJ McCollum had that, like, football tackle on him, which was ridiculous. It got a little shaky there for a little bit, but it ended up being just an impressive win. At that point, the Magic became the fourth seed, and we controlled our own destiny for getting the East second seed at that point because of these two upcoming Bucks games we still have to get to. Thoughts on this Pelican game, Penny?
Yeah, I mean, obviously no Ingram and no Alvarado and everything, but it felt like a get-right game which it did not turn out to be, but just overall very solid, impressive performance.
So, I mean, and we're still doing it right now, right this second, but I don't think I've ever had to keep track of six other Eastern Conference team schedules with a week and a half remaining in the season. Like, the closest I could think of that I've had to keep track of this many teams along with the Magic schedule wise is like the 1999 lockout season. And that may have, and that may have been like five other teams I was keeping track of. Like, this East 2-8 seed race is just super tight. It's super intense. This is adding excitement to things, right? Like, we haven't, like, can you recall having to do this with scheduling and being this involved? And it helps that we have like free league pass and shit like that, you know, too. But and we're actually able to see all this stuff. Whereas 25 years ago, like, we definitely couldn't do this.
Yeah, you're checking the Orlando Sentinel the next morning, pretty much, to update the standings. But I think it's been exciting. Obviously, I think part of it, I mean, I know it's, we're talking about 2-8 being bunched up, but I think part of it has been the introduction of the play-in that keeps things exciting longer, keeps teams from tanking, you know, long further into the season.
Yeah,
and then I think part of it too is, you know, there's no Wemby this year, so. A lot of teams ended up being kind of middle of the pack and taking a shot at it. And it's definitely added to the excitement. And frankly, I think the joy, too, for a lot of franchises that haven't necessarily seen a ton of success recently, but now can jump all the way up to second or third in the conference at the end of the year.
Yeah. So before the Charlotte game, a few things. The Orlando Magic Pod Squad, all those episodes everybody should be listening to, but the Joe Ingles episode recently was especially awesome, I thought. He's been in the league for about a decade, and yet he and his wife applied for green cards a few months ago because they like Orlando that much. And that's pretty interesting because he's played in some pretty cool cities. At least one cool city in general. But look, players like Orlando. Like, the problems in the past have always been more ownership and organization related. But as far as Orlando goes, like, people like Orlando, they like the community. They like just the fans. They like the tax advantages, I'm sure too, but I mean, they like the weather. We have so many former Magic players who, even if they're not on good terms with the team, they live in Orlando because they like being in Orlando. And I thought that was cool. I don't know if you listened to that episode, Penny.
Yeah. I thought it was a really good episode. The one thought that I had kind of branching off from that has been, we've always kind of taken pride, I think, in the fact that basically anyone that comes through as a player, there's a good chance they do stick around either after their career or after they get traded while they're still playing, which is cool. It does seem like there's been a migration from Windermere to Winter Park over the last like decade plus of players and, you know, even we'll say coaches and like organization members and stuff. Why do you think that is? Because obviously Windermere is still highly popular, but Winter Park, very cool too. And I assume equally nice to raise a family.
I mean, Winter Park seems to me has always been cooler in general. Just Windermere always had just more space and just larger houses in general. Like, that was literally like the big thing. And I guess if you were to the theme parks, like, you could make it to the theme parks quicker that way.
Yeah.
But I'll rate Winter Park over Windermere any day of the week. I mean, look, Park Avenue's fun. You're closer to like Mills 50, or if you partake in that, which I know the players don't otherwise, because I would have seen one by now over there. But yeah, Winter Park's just cool. And then some G League news. So the Osceola Magic, they got eliminated from the playoffs maybe a little earlier than they would have wanted to, but Mac McClung was named the G League MVP. At minimum, I think next season he's going to be with us on a two-way contract with Admiral Schofield exiting, because Schofield can't be signed again via the two-way, and I doubt they'll give Schofield a 15-man roster spot. But, you know, maybe another NBA team gives Mac McClung a shot, but depending on our offseason activities, we're probably going to have 15-man roster spots available. So, I don't know. I mean, he averaged like 25 points per game. He's exciting, man. I wouldn't mind giving him the third point guard spot. just for depth purposes, because he moves that ball around. And look, size has always been an issue for him. He's basically a 6 foot guy, and still though, I mean, he's exciting. He's a dunk contest champion. And I think somebody's got to give him a shot. Like he's done more than enough.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously he's not the by body type, he's not the archetype of this front office, right? But he's in that same boat as Treble and Queen, the another two-way guy where you're literally the MVP of the next best league, theoretically, right? There's nothing more that you can prove outside of the NBA. So what do? Like, you just got to find the right situation, and somebody's got to take a chance on you to give you a full roster spot and give you that opportunity. You've proven yourself at that level, literally, in the Magic have the last two G League MVPs on the roster at this point. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, him and Trevin Queen for sure. So, all right, let's get to this Hornets game. So Friday, Magic run Charlotte. This one really stung. No pun intended. Like the Steve Clifford was stepping down. It was already announced was is going to be stepping down at the end of the season to take a front office position. He gets some late revenge against us finally in this one. Like the Hornets avoid getting swept. I don't know. Quick Steve Clifford thought stuff, because he's getting ragged on a lot by Magic fans, which I don't like seeing that. Look, he didn't want to deal with a rebuild, and I get it. He ended up ending up in a rebuild situation again with Charlotte, even though it didn't seem like that was going to happen at the time. And he's dealing with a lot of injuries and felonies with the Hornets right now, and so it's just a tough break. So, it's He's going to take a front office spot. I doubt we see him being a head coach again. I don't know. Any Clifford thoughts in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good coach. I don't even think he's a mediocre coach. He's a good coach.
Yeah.
You can argue about his style, and maybe that's trending out now, but Thibodeau's having great success this year. I feel we'll always have a soft spot, I think, for him and Vooch. It's been kind of we'll say ironic and sad that both of them kind of went on to situations where it was just more of the same of what they experienced in Orlando. Whereas after Orlando made the decision to change course, we've kind of appeared to have righted ourselves.
Yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, we started this Hornets game off terribly. Like the Hornets were up 16-5 out of the gate. The Magic would end up never leading in this game. Suggs on his own tweaked his knee. Like nobody touched him. He just kind of like did a jump gimp thing situation where just his knee just, I don't know, something happened. And he never looked good in this game. The Hornets, they just drained threes throughout. Brandon Miller torched us. He was perfect in the first half. And we were down 38-23 in the first quarter. After the first quarter, Jonathan Isaac wasn't on the injury report, and then all of a sudden he was like a late injury addition because of back spasms, and he never checked into this game. And that was big, honestly, because if we had Isaac coming in for defense, like we very well could have come back and won this game. Fultz, Markelle kept us afloat in this game with Franz hitting foul trouble, and Suggs clearly just was not himself in this game. We had the deficit down to 7, but then Charlotte finished the first half strong. Like we were down 67-52 at halftime. Just our overall bad effort was just bad. You can't give up 67 points to Charlotte team. And then we had an 8-0 Magic run to open the third, and we were. It seemed like we were getting it going, and then we were down double digits again. And Micić, who's really, really good, he was just carving us up. And you just can't give up a Pokuševski and one dunk. Just you can't do that. And again, this is another one of those games where I really wish we would have saw Anthony Black and Goga a bit more. We don't see him at all, and I thought giving them a go would have maybe sparked something, but. Because again, Wendell was not good in the paint in this game. And then, you have a guy like Anthony Black who can guard the perimeter well, where he's got that 6'6" size. And then Anthony's not afraid to shoot a three here and there. We were down 94-79 entering the fourth. The Magic switched the zone, and defensively. And Franz reeled us back in. We were only down 98-94 with 7:30 to go left in the fourth. And Penny, be honest, like, I thought we were coming back and winning this game. I mean, did you think we were going to come back, or did you think that
I mean, and I think over the course of the season, you've seen it everywhere. Like, there's been so many double digit comebacks this season across the league, and even with the Magic too, that it felt like all you needed to do was put a couple good stretches together to close out with a win. But, you know.
But then Charlotte kept hitting threes because we gave him hope early, and it's just a very bad Magic loss. Like, we would have been the third seed had we won, and it was a costly lesson for that. We did look tired, but this effort just wasn't there from the get-go. This is the latest and longest, like, a lot of our guys have been in this type of situation in a regular season of trying to just secure not just a playoff spot, but home court advantage in their first postseason. And it can be draining at times if you've never gone through it. So the loss sucks, but I'm still not going to be overcritical. Like, this is new territory for 90% of our guys. And there's going to be a lot of mistakes along the way. And we've been experiencing that. You know, do I think Mosley should go deep in those bench at times to compensate? Yeah, it didn't happen in this game. It hasn't happened in other games. Sometimes it happens in other games, but you know, everyone's going to have to learn one way or another. And look, we're the only 45 plus win NBA team in the last 25 years whose three leading scorers are 22 years of age or younger, which is insane. And that was a heck of a stat from Orlando Muse. But, you know, this 82 game season is a grind. There's distractions physically, mentally, there's stuff going on. Like, once you know, one, you have to go through just a few times just to fully handle as a pro athlete. You just got to do it. And then, hell, you know, Jalen Suggs might have been on the women's Final Four. Like, his one of his close friends is Paige Bueckers. Like, he might have had his mind on that. Like, the guys on the team playing were watching the women's Final Four on the flight back from Charlotte to Orlando. So, just little weird shit like that. Like, who knows? But because letdowns happen, and you know, especially if you're thinking about the playoffs and you're looking forward to those. Like, when you're playing a bad team like Charlotte, this can happen, and other NBA teams are going through it. It's not just us. And, you know, thankfully overall this season, it hasn't happened too often. Like, we've been taking care of putting away bad teams, which had not been the case over the past decade. And so I think Magic Twitter just needs to chill and just enjoy the big picture of this kind of moment. Because this is the only year that we're going to be able to soak this in, just fully enjoy it, you know, without any immense expectations. Because going into the fall, for as long as we have Paolo and Franz on this team, there's going to be more and more expectations. There's going to be more and more pressure to win a title. There's no expectations for these 2024 playoffs. Like, I don't care what people say. Like, there's no expectations. We could get swept. We could win our first playoff series since 2010. We've never won a playoff series in that Kia Center building. Like, we could make the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, the path is there. That's how ridiculous the season's been so far. And it's all a bonus knowing that we have two studs leading the way, and what we'll have to do in the offseason to improve this roster with big contract extensions beginning to be handed out. So have fun with this next month or two, Orlando, because we're not going to experience this again for maybe a decade. Like, it's potentially the start of something immense, and just enjoy this ride, because it's really something fun. And again, there's no pressure with this. Like, there shouldn't be any pressure with this. Like, have fun with this, get better, improve. But the long term and long future, there's real opportunity for enormous success.
I think that's a salient point, and very objective and rational and mature way to look at things, because, like, that Hornets game, from a fan perspective, we'll call it the most disappointing loss of the season since, you know, we're dropping the game in Miami, I think, in February. Like, just poor. But overall, whatever success happens this year, you know, we're at 46 wins as of recording right now, wherever we end up. Even if we win 48 games next season, it won't feel the same as it does this time around. So enjoying those steps and enjoying the progress. And, you know, I think, again, from a fan perspective, sometimes you think that everything in the league ends up being a linear progression, and it never does. You know, look no further than the Atlanta Hawks, that have a season where they're changing coach mid-year, get all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then first round exit, and now fighting for the 10th seed. Like there's no guarantees year to year, and being fully invested in the ride for whatever it ends up being is the healthiest approach. And also, you know, to steal a turn of phrase from Mosley, probably also the most joyful approach for everyone involved, because it's been a pretty cool ride this year, just to be a part of it, you know, as someone that's contributing to it and as people that just get to enjoy it from a fan's perspective also.
Yeah, joyful is a really great term, because honestly, this might be the most joyful like Magic team I've ever seen. Honest to God, like we say it every episode, but just like this chemistry and this camaraderie, like I have not seen this from another Magic team maybe ever. It's insane. And again, it's because of when the off season, we're probably going to lose some guys one way or another. Like you might not get that back next season. It might be a bit of a different mood next season. We don't know. So that's why I say just put this in a bottle and save it and enjoy it. So, and yeah, I mean, look, this exceeds even my biggest expectations, because we just got 46 wins tonight against the Bulls, and that's already a game ahead of my 45 win, 6 seed Southeast Division champion prediction. Like it exceeds even my optimism. So it's cool, man. It's freaking awesome. So, all right, before we talk about this Bulls game tonight, quick final four or Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame thoughts, I guess. So yeah, this being final four time, you know, the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame 2024 class got announced. Notable name is obviously Vince Carter, because he's a former Magic player. Like we don't have a lot of former Magic players that are Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Famers, but he's another one to add to the list. I mentioned Chauncey Billups as well, because one, he tormented us for like 5 years, at least. And he was between like 03 and 08. He tormented us as Magic fans. But he was also on the preseason Hard Hustle roster, which, that, you know, is he technically a former Magic player? No, because he didn't officially play a game for us. But it's funny to bring that up. But I don't know, any thoughts? I'm not surprised either made it. I'm surprised. There's a lot of people that are surprised Billups made it. I'm like, this guy's a finals MVP. And like, he was literally Mr. Big Shot. And like, I would say Billups had an even stronger case than Vince Carter being in the Hall of Fame. I know Vince did a whole lot more like statistically, because he just played longer. And look, you know, Vince, he had a great college career, exciting, you know, dunks galore, Olympic team, stuff like that. And then just he had a long career. But I mean, both obviously deserve it. And look, I thought once we made that Vince Carter trade and in that 2009 offseason after we lost to the Lakers in the finals, I thought it wasn't good. I thought we weren't going to be as good as the 09 team. Now, I ended up being right, although if you talk to a lot of Magic players, they'll say the 2010 team was better than the 09 team.
Yeah, they were.
They weren't, but
I think it's cool to have it's always cool to have another player enshrined that has Magic ties. I think certainly both Billups and Carter are deserving of being enshrined. And I was surprised that I think it was like a 13 or 14 person class this year, and there were a couple other people that maybe probably had more borderline cases. But that's the biggest thing we always talk about, is that it's the, you know, Basketball Hall of Fame and not the NBA Hall of Fame. Yeah. So there's a lot more leeway in terms of credentials. And obviously for Vince Carter in particular, I think the impact on what basketball looks like in Canada now, I mean, God, you can't really attribute that to anyone other than him more so.
Did you see the Raptors commemorative logo for Vince?
Yeah.
That thing is cool, man. That Very thing cool. is so sick. They need, that should be their permanent logo, honest to God. Like that logo's sick. They're going to sell so much merch off of that logo alone. It's really nice. All right, Bulls game tonight. So again, recording this Sunday night, so April 7th. So again, 4:07 day today. Look, the Bulls did us a favor on Friday by beating the Knicks, and then they still face the Knicks two more times here at the end of the season. So, you know, glad we beat them today. The Bulls, they're trying to hold off Atlanta for that ninth spot. Hopefully they beat the Knicks a couple more times here coming up. But We found out before tip-off that the Clippers had completed a ridiculous 26-point comeback to beat the Cavs in an insane game. You know, Paul George especially, but even like Westbrook and Coffey, they were huge down the stretch, which they that made the Magic the third seed. So we are obviously still the third seed because we held on and beat Chicago tonight. We're tied at 46-32 with the Knicks, but because we have the tiebreaker on the Knicks as well as the Cavs, who are now on 33 losses as Cleveland. You know, the Magic are the third seed right now. And look, the Bulls, they didn't have Alex Caruso. They haven't had Pat Williams and Lonzo Ball for a while. Caleb Houston was out, was the only one listed out for the Magic in this game. Suggs got us off to an energetic start with the dunk and a few other hustle plays. Like we looked focused from the get-go in this one. And this is the response you wanted after a really disappointing Charlotte game. Wendell, extra active because he loves playing the Bulls since they traded him to us. It was 23-8 Magic as Wendell had like a block and then an alley-oop dunk really early on in this game. The Magic were up 31-14 after one quarter. Joe Ingles, he hits a long three in the second quarter, gets a taunting tick for telling Billy Donovan to call a timeout. Fucking love that guy. Ingles also took a charge, which I don't know if that was his first charge of the season, but it's very rare for Joe Ingles to take a charge. So he's clearly ramping up for the playoffs. We're going to know it's playoff basketball when Ingles like clotheslines a dude on a fast break instead of letting him go by him. You know that shit's happening. So the Magic were up 56-44 at halftime with Paolo and Franz leading the way. 13 Bulls turnovers to just our five coughed up, which was good turnover-wise. And then Isaac played, but then was ruled out at halftime with a sore back, which is, to be honest, is something to keep an eye on. I mean, we don't know what's, you know, the sore back thing came out of nowhere, I guess. And it's going to have an impact on this. He may not play any of this three-game road trip. He may only play a game or two. I don't know. But, I mean, obviously with how well he is playing, both defensively and offensively. Like, offensively, this guy's doing like dribble pull-up jumpers now and burying them. Like, he on the court, he's been impressive, and it's a big loss for us. Like, you can tell, like, you see almost the energy from our team sometimes, like it gets sapped out when Isaac's not on the floor, just roaming the paint and trying to protect the rim. How concerned are you about his back, Penny?
Well, I mean, a huge concern. Because even if he's on the floor, if that limits his, you know, ability to do what he does that makes him most successful, anytime that you have any back issue in your regular life, like, that's debilitating, right?
Yeah.
So imagine trying to compete at the highest level and stay in front of people that are uber athletic. Like, certainly a huge concern. The better lack of concern, I think, is the Franz injury with the ankle tweak more than an ankle roll. So at least potentially we dodge a bullet there.
Yeah, look, in the third, Franz, he rolled his ankle, and I think it was Ayo Dosunmu's foot, and early in the third, Franz on his own walked to the locker room, got an x-ray, it was negative, but he's ruled out the rest of the game with a sprained ankle. I mean, look, we not having Franz or Isaac, it impacted us both in this game, and it's going to be an issue against in these last, you know, final four games of the regular season, you know, against pretty solid opposition. So, but they're obviously not going to sacrifice the postseason for trying to get like the second seed or something, or hold on to this third seed. Like, but this front office, this coaching staff is going to be more than happy for us to, even if we fall to fourth or fifth, hell, even sixth, even, you know, like, they're not going to sacrifice our postseason for these last few games with when it comes to Franz and Isaac. So if it wouldn't shock me if we don't see either of them in Houston or in Milwaukee. But that obviously that hurts us a lot if we don't have them. So we'll see how that goes. But it didn't look that bad with Franz. I'm hoping they were just extra cautious with him and he'll play Tuesday. But, you know, who knows? We really don't know how this is going to go. So, Bolts and Suggs did a good job picking up the slack once Franz left. The Magic were up 75-56 midway through the third. It's a good thing we have Mo Wagner. You know, we didn't have Franz, but we got Mo, and we were up 86-68 late in the third as Wagner had this steal on Kobe White and just this fast break thunder slam all over Kobe White in a disgusting highlight play. That was awesome. it was a thing of beauty for Mo to get that steal, for him to rumble with the ball and just kind of just tomahawk that thing over Kobe White's head. That was sick. And then, yeah, the Magic were up 89-72 entering the fourth. Markelle Fultz, season high 17 points. He got that early in the fourth, and he's taken to making threes a bit more here. And you know, he hit a three early in the game. They changed it to a two. He said, "Fuck it, I'm gonna hit another three anyway." So he did it. So hey, look, it's not the prettiest for him. There's a bit of a shot put hitch to it still, but he's shooting them, and that's all I give a shit is that he's shooting them. And guess what? It looks pretty good going down. So, again, I don't care about your form. I want you to shoot them. And obviously, I want you to hit them, but I want you to shoot them, because if you're not shooting them, then Anthony Black should be on the floor instead of you. But Markel's ramping it up. And this makes it interesting as far as the rotation thing goes, because we're talking about, well, is Mosley and the coaching staff going to shorten their playoff rotation? Maybe not, at least not initially. You know, they're going to let this go. And, you know, when Markel is playing confident like that, it helps everybody else a lot. And, you know, Markel, both him and Joe running point was the big reason why we were able to fairly comfortably hold off Chicago instead of it getting kind of nervous there without Franz and J.I. So, but we ran into foul trouble. You know, Paolo picked up his fifth foul about with 7 minutes to go in the fourth, I think, as the refs, I thought, just changed up all of a sudden how they were calling the game. And then Wendell also picked up his fifth foul with 6 minutes left. But Mosley kept both in, which I thought was crazy. I don't know, Penny, what's your – is it – what, you know, would you have sat them for 2 minutes, or were you okay with Mosley just letting it ride like that? Because I would have sat him for 2 minutes.
Well, I mean, you're walking a tightrope there because Franz is already out for the game with the injury if you lose Paolo. But I wasn't mad about the decision, because you're hoping that they go in a little spurt there to put the game away rather than try and buy some time and bring him back in to close it out. So, I mean, either way, I feel like you could make a case, but I wasn't mad at the decision.
Which it ended up working out. You know, point angles, pretty big late there. You know, he found Wendell, who hit a huge three. Magic were up 108-91 with 3:16 left, and we put the game away. This is our first 4-0 sweep of the Bulls in over 15 years. I think it's since the 07-08 season. So I forget which Magic fan tweeted it, but I think we've swept 9 teams this season sweep style, which that definitely ranks very high all time up there, I feel like, to sweep 9 teams. You know, some of them are 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, but still, that's impressive. You almost swept a third of the league this season. That's pretty freaking good. And yeah, 46-32, third seed. We're 18-0 at Kia Center against sub 500 teams. So we're, you know, we've been taking care of these bad teams for the most part this season. A lot more than any other time since Dwight left, for sure. And we're 20-2 when we're holding opponents to under 100 points. Is that defense, which we've had the number one defense, essentially either number one or number two defense since the All-Star break. And it's been benefiting, I think, from the officiating overall. Now our offense gets a little stagnant and could be an issue because of how the refs are calling stuff, 'cause we're not getting to the free throw line as much, but, defensively, I think overall it benefits us. And so because it benefits our defense so much, it benefits us as a whole, because we're a defense first type team. And yeah, thoughts on the Bulls game, Penny? I almost had a tear coming down my face when Vooch was hugging the guys after the game, because he's been very good about not kicking our asses when we play them. And I feel like that's strategic, because Vooch has had some big wins for us, standing wise as a member of the Bulls. But when he plays against us, he goes into Agent Vooch mode, and he doesn't hurt us too badly. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, he's been very kind to us, and the league was kind to us pretty much across the board today in terms of results. But yeah, the Bulls game felt like a Sunday stroll. Didn't ever, you know, there was a couple, DeRozan mini runs, or even Drummond had a little, spurt in him, but the game never really felt like, it never really felt like the Bulls had a chance in this one, which was nice to take care of business in that way. My one takeaway that you did not cover is that Paul Porter got commemorated for his 35 years of service with a basketball. I assume that more honors will be bestowed upon him at some point in time. But here's my question for you. We're gonna throw out the two-way guys, but on the Magic roster, 1 through 15, how many of them know what Paul Porter's name is if you ask them who the Magic's PA announcer was? And knowing that the starting five fist bump him to start a game, how many people do you think know Paul Porter's name on the roster right now?
I'll say 8. Do you think that's high? I'm gonna go with 8.
I think that's high, which is kind of disappoints me, but they're children, so they don't know.
I feel like, because Paul doesn't come by at all ever for practices and stuff. He literally just makes the drive from Tampa for the games. That's a good point. They gotta know, man. Because the MC, they'll mention Paul Porter's name all the time. So like, if you're practicing on the floor before a game, like you'll hear the name. Like they gotta know. Like half the roster's gotta know, I feel like. So. But that is a good question. That's something for the Magic social media team to throw out. But that's kind of one of those where if that turns out bad, you don't post that live. Because I mean, like Markel's done, like he's mimicked Paul Porter's stand and cheer intro for the fourth quarter. So Markel has to know, right?
I would lay money that Joe Ingles does not know Paul Porter's name.
See, Joe's a perceptive guy. Like, I think Joe actually knows. I think he respects a good PA voice. I don't know. I'm just
Okay.
throwing that out there. I think Joe would know. So, but this is good. I'd be curious to know.
But either way, a basketball is nice. I think a Magic Hall of Fame induction should be on the way at some point as well.
Yeah, that's definitely gonna happen. All right. Let's look at the standings, and then we got to talk schedules the rest of the way here. So, Boston, they've clinched the East. They're the number one seed by far. They have a 15 game lead over the Bucks now. The Celtics are 62 and 16. The Bucks are 47 and 31 after losing to the Knicks tonight. So, they're 47 and 31. And a game behind the Bucks are the Magic and Knicks at 46 and 32. We are the third seed because we have the tiebreaker on the Knicks. Yeah, I mean that's, and the Knicks obviously beat the Bucks, so that was a huge win for the Knicks as well. I don't know what's going on with the Bucks, man, because like Yanni is it, there's supposedly like a knee thing going on, although he's still playing great. I mean, in general, it feels like when Brooke Lopez, Yanni, Dame Lillard, Chris Middleton are all playing. Like they do great. But like tonight, like Chris Middleton lost his tooth in the first half and he was bleeding out of his mouth and he didn't play the rest of the game and they just fell apart. Like the Bucks were up like double digits in the game. And then second half, Knicks storm back and they just look impressive in the fourth. It's really weird when the Bucks, like core four, are playing like they don't lose really. They play really well, but if one of those four guys is out, they're a mess. It's very bizarre. And I mean, Doc Rivers, I think is under five has an under 500 record as Bucks coach at the moment right now, and he's saying some weird stuff in the media, like doling out excuses to everyone, and including guys not even on the playing roster, like bus drivers and laundry guys, and it's very bizarre. And then the Knicks, they've been playing really well. I mean, even with Julius Randle is out for the year, and then OG Anunoby is, I think he came back, right? OG Anunoby's back now, so that's big for him to be there. But I mean, Brunson,
DiVincenzo, and Brunson. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Villanova guys have been awesome. Like Josh Hart, like it's they've been awesome. And it wouldn't shock me if the Knicks end up being the second seed when it's all said and done here, when we get through, when we talk about schedules and stuff. But yeah, we're the third seed. We're the fourth seed, even though we both have the same record. A half game behind us because the Cavs, thank God, lost to the Clippers. So the Cavs have 33 losses, so that's one more loss than us. At this point, you're looking at losses more than wins. But you know, the Cavs are 46-33, so they have three games left to go. You know, we have four, but we have the tiebreaker on the Cavs as well, which is big to have that. Even though we're 2-2 on the in our four game matchup this season. We have the tiebreaker because we will be the Southeast Division champs, which is amazing. And don't let anyone tell you that division championships don't mean shit, because they mean a lot here. Although, like the Knicks, I say the Cavs have a pretty easy last final three games overall, which we'll talk about here in a bit. But yeah, they're the fifth seed. A game and a half behind us are the Pacers, who are 45-34, who they almost blew it against the Heat tonight, but they beat the Heat. They're 45-34, the Pacers. They're kind of getting it together a bit. Like, it's not even so much like Haliburton or Siakam or Turner. It's like more of the ancillary pieces like Nembhard and Nesmith here and there, because they don't have Ben Mathurin the rest of the way. I mean, right now, if the season ends, it's a 3-6 matchup between us and the Pacers. And that might make a lot of Magic fans happy, because the Pacers obviously don't have the greatest defense of the world, although it's been a lot better of late. A lot of Magic fans want us to match up with them. And I'm telling every Magic fan now, if we face the Pacers in the first round, we're the NBA TV series. We are not going to be on the big boy network channels. But and then, let's see, the Sixers pulled off a crazy double overtime win in San Antonio. They didn't have Embiid. Tyrese Maxey dropped 52 points, which I think is the most a guard scored for them since Allen Iverson did it like almost two decades ago. So, I mean, Tyrese Maxey really got the job done there late in San Antonio. Like, Wembanyama was having a good game, and for some reason they didn't give him the ball late. So, okay. But Philly, they have 35 losses. They're 44-35. We play them one more time, you know, this coming Friday. We play them in Philly, and the Sixers have a tiebreaker over us. So it's possible the Sixers can win out, you know, at to end the season. They've got three games left. The Sixers could win out. So theoretically, they could catch us if we just struggle here at the end. But and then eighth is the Miami Heat at the moment. So look, 7, 8, 9, and 10, they got to do the whole play-in thing, but the Heat right now are the eighth seed. They are three games back of the Magic. They're 43-35, but it's basically a two loss difference, because the Heat have the tiebreaker on us. So think of us as having a two game lead instead of a three game lead, and that's going to come in handy, because the Heat play the Raptors twice to end the season, which are basically gimme wins, you would think there. So even though Miami's eighth, they could easily rise in the standings with how their schedule ends to end the season, because they have four games left like we do. I don't know, Penny, if we had to play the Pacers right now in a 3-6 matchup, like what do you think? Are you pleased? Or look, I say like I'd much be more comfortable playing like a big boy team like the Knicks or the Heat. Just one, we'd definitely be on national TV for sure. But like, I want to play great coaches, great players, high pressure environments and situations. Like give me all the high pressure stuff. Whereas the Pacers, or like if it was even the Cavs, it wouldn't be so much. But I don't know. Thoughts, Penny?
Yeah, I mean, I think of all of the potential matchups, you know, 2 through 7, I feel like as a Magic fan, you would feel most confident playing the Pacers in terms of, you know, it being a winnable series. I do think that that is a good venue, and obviously Rick Carlisle is a championship coach, so you're going to get the strategy, but it certainly wouldn't be the same as going into the Garden or You know, other teams that have been in the playoffs for the last few years too, where there are like established cores that are going back into the postseason to get a full taste of the experience, where the Pacers are kind of in the same boat that the Magic are. So I think that's an astute point. It would certainly be the NBA TV series, which again would probably ruffle some feathers here locally about not getting the proper respect.
All right, let's talk. I mean, go through the schedules real quick for them, and then I'll leave us last. But I'm going to start from the bottom. So Miami, they got four games left. Tuesday, they're at Atlanta. That's not a gimme. The Hawks are 10th. They're trying to get up to 9th, but the Hawks without Trae Young, but you know, the Hawks have been frisky overall, honestly, whether Trae Young plays or not. But yeah, the Hawks have been frisky. So Tuesday, they're at Atlanta. They have a second night of a back-to-back in Miami to host the Dallas Mavericks, which Luka, Kyrie Irving, Dante Exum, Dallas is rolling right now. So that's Miami's going to have to earn that one. But then Friday and then Sunday to end the season, they have back-to-back games with the Raptors there for those two games in those final three nights. So, yeah, those Raptors games should be gimme. So, I would say the Heat, they could go, they'll probably end up going 3-1. I doubt they'll go 4-0. I mean, it's possible, but they're more likely to go 2-2 than 4-0 is my viewpoint on that. Because both Atlanta in Atlanta and then Dallas, the Mavs in Miami, that those two are going to be tough. And then they have the two gimmies at the end. I don't know. Thoughts on that, Penny?
Yeah, I'm the Atlanta game, I think, is the biggest one because they're still working to jump the Bulls. But Dallas conceivably could be locked into the fifth or sixth spot and then Toronto playing for nothing. So I'm a little concerned about, you even talk about having like the division wrapped up. Like conceivably, there's a world where we sputter to the finish and Miami wins the next four. So there's certainly a level of concern there. Also not out of the realm of possibility that Magic Heat end up being 4-5 after everything shakes out too.
It is very possible, which I'm fine with. We can call it like the Bright Line Brawl or some shit like that. But yeah, I mean, look, the Magic, especially if we don't have Franz or Jonathan Isaac, we could easily go 1-3 and end up with 35 losses, a 47-35 record, which that'd be great. But, Miami, if they win out, they could go 4-0 and win out. And on tiebreaker, they would be the Southeast Division champs and finish above us in the standings. So that's, I can't rule that out. I can't. Can you rule that out, Penny? I can't rule that out.
I'm concerned about it. We'll say that.
Yeah. So, all right, going from 8th to 7th, the Sixers, they host the Pistons on Tuesday. They get two full days off. They get Wednesday, Thursday off before the Magic play the Sixers in Philly on Friday. I'm assuming Embiid's going to play in that game because then they finish with the Brooklyn Nets in Philly as well. That's Sunday afternoon because all the East games will finish at, will be at 1 p.m. on Sunday. That's at minimum that's 2-1, right? They should beat the Pistons and Nets, and then it's up to the Magic at that point. So look, the Sixers, they have 35 losses. So again, that's a situation where that could get a little tight. I don't think Philly catches us though. I'm more worried about Miami than Philly. I don't know if you agree or disagree.
I feel the same.
All right, and then the Pacers, who are the sixth seed at the moment. They're at Toronto, so we're getting a lot of Raptors action Tuesday. They get two full days off and are then in Cleveland on Friday the 12th. And then they finish the season Sunday afternoon hosting the Hawks. So we're getting a lot of Raptors and Hawks action here, but they should win at Toronto. Cleveland, who knows? Cleveland's a mental mess. That's the crazy part. And then who knows what's going to happen with that Hawks game that Sunday. So the Pacers, they're a game and a half back of us. You know, we have 32 losses. They have 34 losses. We have the tiebreaker, though. I don't think they'll jump us.
Yeah, agreed. And then, obviously, we get the benefit of the Pacer and Cavs game. So somebody has to lose that. Feel pretty good either way, as we're looking at the outlook for both Indiana and Cleveland as compared to us on this final stretch here.
Yeah, so the Cavs, they're a half game back of us and the Knicks. The Cavs, wounded from their West Coast road trip, they get a few days off. They host the Grizzlies Wednesday, so that you would think would be a win, but who knows? The Grizzlies are feisty. They host the Pacers Friday the 12th. That game's going to be insane. And then they finish with the Hornets Sunday, April 14th. So I don't know. Maybe Steve Clifford does us a favor. Who knows? But yeah, that one, I would say they go two. I mean, if they could go 3-0, they could go 2-1. So Cleveland could easily jump us in the standings. That's my viewpoint on that. Even though we have the tiebreaker on them and the Cavs have an extra loss, you know, they have 33 losses. We have 32 losses. Like, Cleveland could easily jump us the way how this goes. I'm assuming you're not going to disagree on that, Benny.
No, and again, Cleveland has the home game against the Pacers. So if you were going to, you know, assume they're favored to win that one, but much more favorable finishing stretches than we have to look forward to.
Yeah. The Knicks, who we're tied with, they're at Chicago on Tuesday. They are at Boston on Thursday, TNT game. They host the Brooklyn Nets second night of a back-to-back. So Brooklyn can fuck over their neighbors here Friday. And then they finish the season Sunday afternoon hosting the Bulls. So again, the Knicks get the Bulls twice to end the season. So I don't know with that one. That one could be crazy. Like even the Celtics are going to be resting guys, I would think, hopefully for them, for their sake, they should be resting guys. But yeah. So they could easily go 4-0. And I don't know. I honestly, if I predict, I could predict right now, I think the Knicks are the 2 seed. What do you think, Penny?
I see the Knicks finishing 3-1. So I think it's conceivable that everybody else kind of beats each other up here to the finish. And the Knicks are playing great ball right now. So assume the Celtics rest, they get the job done against Brooklyn, and then you split against the Bulls just because it's hard to play too. Could see them going 3-1 and then, you know, ending up finishing in the second spot for sure.
Because the Bucks have a brutal last 4 games. They host Boston Tuesday, which again, the Celtics could rest guys, but even then, that's not a gimme. Then the Magic are at the Bucks. Magic second night of a back-to-back on Wednesday, but it's also second night of a back-to-back for the Bucks, but it's two home games there for the Bucks. So we have to do the traveling. Milwaukee doesn't. And then the Bucks are at Oklahoma City on Friday. OKC's got a lot to play for still. And then again, we play the Bucks, the Magic Bucks, to end the season Sunday, April 14th, 1 p.m. This could go anyway. Yeah. The Magic could end up above the Bucks. They could end up below the Bucks. Looking at all the other games that are going on at that 1 o'clock, April 14th, I think that Magic Bucks game on Sunday, next Sunday, is going to be a nationally TV game. I don't know. Do you agree or disagree?
I think it could be. I think also we're living in a world where there's a distinct possibility that both the Magic and the Bucks could be playing that game to lose it.
And then, you know, the Magic, I don't want to do that. I don't want to jostle for seed and stuff. Fuck that. Play whoever you can, try to finish as high as possible. But
Doc would do it.
Doc will do it, and that's fine. Give me the win. I want to win a fan appreciation night or day, I guess. But all right, Magic. So Magic's last four games to end the schedule, to end the season. Look, we're 46-32. We're at Houston on Tuesday, 8 o'clock tip. That one, it's very different because the Rockets are, as of today, officially eliminated from the postseason. So thank you, Dante Exum. After the Rockets, they gave the Warriors a big scare there for a few weeks. I'm hoping that they'll be deflated going into that game now that they're out of it. They're without Şengün. Maybe they'll sit some guys. I doubt it. But, you know, we wrecked them in our building on opening night, which seems like ages ago. But that 30-point opening night win really set the tone for the season there. And then, you know, I already mentioned we play the Bucks two more times. We play at the Bucks Wednesday, April 10th, 8 o'clock tip, second night of a back-to-back. We suck second night of back-to-back. So on paper, that's a schedule loss, but the Bucks are a mess. And who knows who might be resting and whatnot. And even if they're not resting, we still got a shot potentially. And then tough game, probably against Embiid in Philly Friday. You know, Philly's got a lot to play for. And then the Bucks again, like I said, Sunday, April 14th, 1 p.m. tip. I mean, I you know, last pod you said we'd finish fifth. I said we'd finish fourth. Those aren't bad predictions still at this moment. Like, I know we're literally a game away from the number two seed, and if you beat the Bucks twice, that very well could still happen there. But it's tough, man. I could see us losing all four. I could see us going 1-3. I'm gonna say we go 2-2 in this stretch. What do you think, Benny?
2-2 would be massive. Look, it's not rocket science. If you beat Houston, you're in really great shape. I think finishing 2-2 would be the best you could hope for, kind of as we conclude here.
Yeah, I mean, any final thoughts going into this, man? Because we're at 46 wins, man. We go 4-0 and we win 50. Jamal's
Right.
got to be coach of the year, right?
Well, I don't know about that,
He
but
has to be, man.
he had a lot more balance. Yeah.
Just like
I
Paolo
look.
Banchero is gonna like bust through all NBA ballots. Like, it's got to be him. It's got to
It's been
happen,
a
man.
crazy. It's been a crazy year. Hard to believe that there's only a week left. Really excited to see how we wrap things up.
All right, man. Just enjoy the ride, folks. I'm not even gonna go over the tiebreaker rules. Like, just. We'll worry about that at each of these games. But yeah, that's all I got, man. That's going to do it for this episode. If you're still listening, we thank you very much for your time. We are the longest running Magic podcast show in existence, so any added support is much appreciated. Subscribing, rating the show highly, positive comments, they all help this podcast ranking immensely. Tweet us any of your questions and feedback. Penny, what's your Twitter handle?
At Spencer Strode.
No C's, just S's. And I'm at Papa Giorgio NBO. And with that, take care. Let's go, Magic.